All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. This is where I'll begin tonight. And you will remember, I hope, these 7-day commercials make it a little difficult sometimes to remember where we left off, don't they? But we are looking at the deity of Christ, one of the key fundamental doctrines in the scriptures and in our constitution and bylaws. In our statement of faith, it says that we believe in the deity of Christ. And when I say that, what I mean is that Jesus is God. All right, he is God in the flesh. Deity means God. All right, Deus is God in the ancient languages, and so we believe that the scriptures teach, and we believe it fundamentally that Jesus is God in the flesh. He is God by nature. All right, and so that's what we've been looking at over the past several weeks. Now, the first thing that we saw in this area was the fact that the virgin birth proves that Jesus is God. We looked at that in great detail, and we noticed that. That the scriptures taught us and teach us in Isaiah 7:14 that the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name, what? Emmanuel. And we go to the New Testament, and Emmanuel means what? God with us, all right? So there, the virgin birth proves the deity of Christ. Second thing we looked at was the fact that the Messiah, the Lord, was given divine names in prophecy. In the Old Testament scriptures, where it was prophesied that the Messiah was coming, the Old Testament scriptures give divine names to identify our Savior. And we looked at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, where says his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and so on and so forth. All right, so all down through those that list of names, and each one of those names is a name that the scriptures identify and claim that God the Father has those attributes as well. And so his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. All right, that's pretty clear, don't you think? You say, boy, I wonder what that means. It means the Mighty God. It's not a cover for something. It simply means that the Messiah is the Mighty God. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. All right? It doesn't get any more clear than that. All right? So the names that were given to the promised coming Messiah are the names that identify him as God. So he is God in the flesh. Now, tonight, I want us to continue. We hopefully get done this evening, and we'll pick up a new one next week. But we will finish tonight by looking thirdly at Christ, who was prophesied to come, was from everlasting. The Bible teaches that, and it does so right here in Micah chapter 5. Look at verse 1, please. Verse 1 said, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth," watch this now, "whose goings forth have been from of old," from what?
Everlasting.
Now we know that that God the Father is said to be eternal, that he is said to be from old, that he is said to be eternal in his nature. Well, here is Micah telling us that the day was coming when the Savior, the Redeemer, God in the flesh, would be born in Bethlehem. Now, there were a couple of cities, towns called Bethlehem in the Middle East, in the Palestinian area, all up and down through there. But it was not called Israel at the time, simply because of who occupied it, the Romans. But the idea was that the Jewish people knew that a promise of a Redeemer, of a Messiah, had been made, and that the Lord was coming, the Messiah was coming. And so here in this passage, it is this statement is very vital to understanding the deity of Christ, because it tells us in the last part of this verse that the ruler in Israel, and we know the ruler in Israel is going to be the Lord Jesus. All right, we know that. The Bible is very clear in the fact that the Lord is coming again, and when he comes again, the reason for his return is so he can rule the world upon the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. And so when it says here that he is the ruler in Israel, this is what is being referenced. The time when he will rule is during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so the promise here is that he's coming. The promise is that he is going to be the ruler. And what we learn at the end of this verse is that his goings have been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, when the Lord Jesus, now think with me, this is a prophecy yet to be fulfilled about his birth, but it is also a prophecy about him reigning for 1,000 years. But notice also, it says, whose goings forth. In other words, when he comes 740 years after, or 500 years after this Micah prophecy was given, when he comes, all right, it won't be the first time he's ever showed up here. All right, that's what that's saying. His goings. Let me remind you that he was here when the world, the universe was created. Do you know why he was here? Because he created it. All right? So that was him. That was Jesus. Also, you remember he was here in the Garden of Eden. He was here then. You know, when the Lord came walking through the garden and called out for Adam, "Where are you, Adam?" And the Bible says that the Lord took coats of skins and clothed Adam and Eve. Why? Because they had sinned and they knew that they were naked. They put on fig leaves to try and cover their nakedness, their awareness of sin. But God said, no, fig leaves will not do it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So it had to be the shedding of an animal's blood, and that blood made the atonement that was needed. Well, our Lord has been in every one of these situations. When you see Jacob coming home after spending that time with his father-in-law, and he's coming back now to face Esau, and he goes out at night and runs into the Lord. And he had a little wrestling match out there. And finally, the Lord said, "Turn me loose." And he said, "I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me." And so the Lord blessed him. That's exactly what the Lord wanted, was for him to hang on, and fellowship and communicate and talk and get wisdom and get direction and get strength. That's all the Lord wants from any of us, all right? Just to know him. And so all these instances where the Lord's goings forth were from old. In other words, when he was born in Bethlehem, which is where this verse prophesies Christ would be born, but when he is born in Bethlehem, that's not the first time that he was ever here on this earth. All right? He came as a Christophany. He appeared as Christ before the birth in Bethlehem. And we see that all the way through the scriptures. When three Hebrew children were down in the fiery furnace, and the king looked over and said, "How many do we throw in the fire?" They said, "Three." And he said, "Well, how is it that there's a fourth man? There's a fourth man in the fire." And the king said, "As a matter of fact, that fourth man looks like the Son of God." Now, who revealed that to him? The Lord did. Amen. Yeah, the Lord revealed that to him. The Lord was down there in the midst of the fire protecting the three Hebrew children. So he showed up. His goings have been from old, from everlasting. So he always has been, and he always will be. That's our God. Now, notice that this great prophetic verse announcing where the Messiah would be born was in Bethlehem. Notice that. Lechem, you got to say it like you're coughing over in Israel. But that word means bread. And then Beth means the house of. So the house of bread. Isn't it neat that the bread of life was born in the house of bread? I mean, that's kind of neat, isn't it? But but he was. And then notice that he is not just giving a prophecy about his birth in Bethlehem, but he is also explaining to us that our Savior is the ruler that should come. And of course, we understand that that ruler who is to come is none other than the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But when he came the first time, understand this now, let this lodge in your mind tonight. When he came the first time 2,000 years ago to dwell among men, when he came to this earth to dwell among men, he did not come the first time to rule and to reign. He did not come to rule and to reign. He came the first time as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You remember when John the Baptist was down at the river baptizing, and the Lord Jesus came. Well, before he showed up, everybody was asking John, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am the forerunner. I am that man who it was prophesied would come to be a forerunner of the Messiah." And they said, "Well, are you Elijah?" He said, "No, not Elijah." "Well, are you Jeremiah?" Nope, not Jeremiah. "Are you one of the prophets?" "Nope." "Well, I guess I am a prophet, but I'm announcing that I'm not one of the dead prophets. I am alive right now, and I'm telling you, the Messiah is coming." And lo and behold, what happened? Here came the Messiah, and he wanted to be baptized by John. Jesus said, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And John said, "Lord, I ought to be baptizing you, or you ought to be baptizing me. I'm nothing. You are the Son of God." And Jesus said, "No, this fulfills all righteousness." And he was baptized by John. Amazing, isn't it? And when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God came down, and everybody saw it. And it landed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's God the Spirit. God the Son was already in the water. And then the voice of God spoke. And everybody heard that voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wow. All three persons of the Godhead right there. At one time, all three persons. So folks, we know that the Lord Jesus did not come the first time to rule and to reign. He came the first time to die on the cross as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You see, when Jesus came up, that's what John did. He pointed at Jesus and got everybody to look at him. And then he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Not a lamb. This was not just any old ordinary lamb. No, this was the Lamb. This was God's Lamb, who was sent to die to make atonement for you and for me. So there was a difference. Throughout all the Old Testaments, there were lambs that were slaughtered, but this lamb was God's lamb. And he was the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said. Now, here's the point, though. He's coming again. All right? He's coming again. And when he comes again, he's not going to come as the Lamb. He's going to come as the lion. Amen. The lion of the tribe of Judah. That's what we read in the book of the Revelation. All right? He's coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah with judgment, with wrath, with anger in his eyes. Why? Because of the way that the Antichrist, the beast, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, are going to turn the world against his people, the nation of Israel, and how they are going to murder and make martyrs out of millions who are going to hear the gospel and be saved during the tribulation period. So when the Lord comes back, they're going to stand there in that valley of Megiddo and shake their fist at Jesus when he comes. Not going to do them a bit of good. He is not scared of a one of them. And it's going to be wrath and judgment that is going to be poured out. So, what does this verse, Micah 5:2, what does this verse show us about our Savior? Well, it shows us that Jesus would one day come and be the eternal and omnipresent God himself. He would be God in the flesh. John goes to great lengths to explain that to us in the Gospel of John. All right? He's very clear in telling us that the Word was God. And then he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Oh, yeah, what kind of glory was it, John? It was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Amen. It was the glory of God. And they saw that glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, where did they see that at? Well, remember the Mount of Transfiguration, for one. All right? Remember that. Remember when he appeared in the upper room to them. Remember when he was on the shore and they had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. And he calls out and says, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. Now, folks, listen, if you're fishing off of one side, and then you pull your net in, you got nothing, you hold that net up and look at it, and then somebody says, throw the net on the other side. Well, you got 4 feet? 4 feet? That's not very much, is it? And so they threw their nets on the other side, and they caught so many fish they couldn't get them all in the boat. Peter had to jump out and swim with them, walk with them in. He couldn't get them all in the boat. Anybody want to try that? You can't, can you? You can't do that. You know? I guess you heard about those two boys from West Virginia that were fishing in Sutton Lake. And one of them, the fish weren't biting, and so one of them reached down in his knapsack and he pulled out a half stick of dynamite. And he lit it and he threw it in. And kaboom, and all these fish floated to the top, and they're just scooping them out and, you know, throwing them in the boat. And about that time the game warden came by. He said, what are you boys doing? Said, fishing. He said, well, no. This is against the law. And so the game warden pulled his book out and he said, what's your name? And so he starts writing down the names. About that time, that other guy reached down, got another half stick of dynamite, lit it, and handed it to the game warden. Said, now you gonna book me or fish? Uh-huh. All right, you got that? You gonna book me or you gonna fish? Well, you know? Can you imagine? You're in the upper room. Boom, there he just shows up. Can you imagine you're walking up the Mount of Olives and then all of a sudden he just goes up? John said, the Word was made flesh. And we saw him. In 1 John, he said, we touched him. We handled him. The Word of life. We know that he was a man, but we also know he was God. All right? We also know that he was God. And so Micah just basically shows us that the Lord Jesus is our Messiah, but he is also our ruler. And the King James translators added a middle column note, if you have a Cambridge Bible, that said this phrase, from of old, from everlasting, could be understood as the days of eternity. And if something's eternal, that means it has no beginning, but it also has no end. All right? And that's our Savior. Next. Next. I don't know how many numbers you're at, but 18? I don't think so. Not that many. Here's the next one. God, the Father, and Christ, the Son, both gave their names as I Am. The I Am. Not the I Was, or not the I Will Be, but the I Am, the self-existing God, always present, ever present God. Let's go back for just a moment to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, all right, Exodus chapter 3. And if you'll look down, please, you look down to, let's say, verse 14. And God, let's go back and get 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? What do I tell them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, that's powerful. That is powerful. Our God, was declaring to Moses that our God is the self-existing one. You see, let me illustrate that. There was a time when I was not. But then September the 10th, 1954 rolled around, and all of a sudden, I was born. And when I was born, I was. All right? So there was a time when I wasn't, and there was a time when all of a sudden, I was, present tense, and if the Lord tarries his coming. One day, all of you are going to read my obituary in the paper, and then folks are going to come by. We'll move this table up here, and folks are going to, y'all have to move it. I'm not moving it. But you guys can come by, and you can look down at me, and I'm just laying there not talking, and that's going to be a marvel for some of you. But here's what a lot of you will say. Please don't say this, but you probably will. Here's what you'll say. Wow, Kyle did a good job on him. Doesn't he look natural? Now, if you do that, I'm going to come back and haunt you. All right, Don Graff. I'm going to come back and haunt you if you do that. All right? So you see what I'm saying? Then you can talk about me past tense. All right? I wasn't. I was. And I used to be. All right? So that's all of us. But you know, you're never going to read God's obituary in the newspaper. I mean, never. None of us will ever be able to speak of God in the past tense. He has no past tense. He's eternal. Before the earth was ever created, before man was ever created, before the universe was ever created, God was. And God still is. And you know, as long as eternity rolls, God will still be. Not a one of us can say that about ourselves. Not a one of us. We can talk about us being was, is, and is to come because of salvation. All right? You're going to see us in heaven. You're going to see us in heaven. All right? I was here. I got saved. Then I died. And I went to heaven. That's a good exchange. This earth for heaven, I'm in. You are too, aren't you? Amen. Boy, I am. But you see, God never had a start date. And he never will have an end date. Why? Because God is the self-existing one. He is the great I am. Now, take your Bible and go over to the Gospel of John. All right? John chapter 8. And there's a bunch of other passages that I could turn to and read you the same thing in this Gospel of John that I'm going to read you out of the 8th chapter. All right, look at chapter 8 and look at verse, let's go down to verse 52. All right, verse 52 says, "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself?" In other words, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Verse 54. Jesus answered, now listen to this brilliance. If I honor myself, My honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. All right, now look here, folks. Abraham lived way over here, just a couple hundred years after the flood. All right? So we're talking long, long time ago. It was a long time ago when Jesus uttered these words. Long time ago. Some 2,000 years. And so what's he say? He said, in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You say, well, I'm confused. Yeah, they were too. But Jesus said, and he, what? Saw it and was glad. Now, question, how did Abraham see it? He saw it by faith. You remember, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Just like you and I have believed God, and our faith is counted unto us for righteousness. That's amazing, isn't it? So Jesus said, you say you're of Abraham. You might be physically, but spiritually you are not. You don't know God. You think you do, but you don't. I know God. That's how I know you don't know God. You don't know God because you don't know me. There's deity. Right there it is. He is claiming to be equal with God. And so they accused Jesus of being led by demons. But in verse 44, go back to verse 44 for just a moment. When they accused Christ of being led by demons, Jesus said, verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You know, there's some folks that they just can't hear. You know? They just can't hear truth. Liberals. Let's go that direction. All right, you see the point, folks? He said, you don't know my father, but here's what he said. Look at verse 44. Ye are of your father, who? The devil. Woo, how to win friends and influence people. Man, that was sharp, wasn't it? Y'all think I'm mean. Man, I mean, didn't you just love that inaugural speech there at the, didn't you just love that with Biden and Harris and Obama and Clinton and Bush and all the rest of them sitting 4 feet from him? Wasn't that awesome? What, I tell you, that took some intestinal fortitude right there. Down in West Virginia, we call that guts. Yeah. You're of your father, the devil. Isn't it amazing, folks? Jesus said, You say you're of your of God. You're not of God. They're probably sitting there, well, how do you know we're not of God? Because you don't know me. I know the Father. You don't know the Father. Well, how do you know that? Because you don't know me. That's how I know that. You see, he's equal with God. That's his deity. So, read on. This is so neat. Look at what he said. Then the Jews, verse 57, then the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, watch this now, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, woo, I just got glory bumps running down my spine right there. What a statement. Before Abraham even was, I am. Do you remember when they came, when the soldiers came running up and who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus. I am. They fell backwards. They fell backwards. Well, I tell you, they can shake their fist in the face of God all they want, but their day is coming. And quicker than they realize, yes. Yes, indeed. He saw it. Abraham saw my day and was glad. They said, well, you're not even 50. You're not even 50. He said, well, I can tell you this. Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, by the way, these are Pharisees. These are knowledgeable men, they know the Old Testament frontwards, backwards, inside out. And when he said that he was, I am, they knew exactly what he was saying. Yeah. Exactly. He was claiming to be God. And they got so angry, they wanted to stone him right there on the spot. How did Abraham see Christ's day? He saw it by faith. Same way you and I see it today. Same way you and I see his day. We were not there when he was born in Bethlehem. We were not there when the mob came into Gethsemane and arrested him. We were not there when they took him to the house of Caiaphas and tried him illegally and beat him through the night to within an inch of his life. We were not there when they then took him over to Pilate and Pilate said, I find no fault in him. We were not there when they took him over to Herod and he refused to say a word to King Herod, not a word. And Herod threw him out and they took him back over to Pilate. Pilate said, let him be scourged. And man, they beat him so badly. Isaiah said in chapter 53 that when you looked upon him, you could not even tell that he was a man. That would have killed any other man. The very beating that he had to take. But you remember he said, no man takes my life. I willingly lay it down, but you birds aren't going to take it from me. That's what he was saying. I'll lay it down. For God so loved the world that he gave. I'll give it, but you're not taking it. And they didn't. Amen. That's right. They didn't because they couldn't. Why couldn't they? He's God. He's God. So he has the name I Am, just like his Father is the I Am. All right. I hope that helps you. Hope that's good. Hope you learned something. All righty, we'll pick up a new one next week. I actually finished that. Took 4 weeks to do it, but I finished it. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for what we can learn as we compare Scripture with Scripture. And Father, we are so grateful that we have the eternal word of the living God, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, and how they complement each other. And Father, we're thankful for our Messiah, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. Thank you, Father, for God in the flesh. And I just pray you'll bless this to our hearts and help us to always keep in mind who our Savior is. And bless your word now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.